Grateful for the opportunity again to stand in this pulpit where so many great preachers have stood before me and declare unto you the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ our Lord. If you came today to hear a Father's Day sermon, I'm just going to say Happy Father's Day to all of you. Evidently, as I look about, y'all done a pretty good job. Thankful for my family. For that's Nathan sitting over there. I'm grateful for you being here. I'm kind of afraid not to go down the line and thank everybody, as Harold taught me Wednesday night in that great lesson he had here. And I got home, I told Shirley about it. I said everybody should have heard what he had to say, because he made everybody feel good as he expressed his heart. Thank to Cole for the reading, for Wayne for the song reading, Brother Adams for the prayer, and I don't know if Ken Hannah gets any thanks or not for the job he does back there in the back, but he does an outstanding job and we thank him for it. How many of you remember the old TV program, Queen for a Day? You remember old Jack Bailey, I believe was his name. He was an MC, and he would choose a woman, and boy, he would just put a lot of gifts on her, a new washer and dryer, for, you know, where she can keep her husband's clothes clean, and a new ironing board or something like that. Often we surely would have got on that so we could got us a washing machine so I could keep my clothes clean, but she never made it. But I want to ask you a question. What would you do if you had the governor's powers and options for 1 week? If you could do anything that the law allowed a governor to do, what would you do? What would you do if you had the powers and the options of the president of the United States for 1 week? If you could do anything that the law allows a president to do, what would you do? If you had the right and the power to rewrite the tax laws of our great nation, what would you do? What changes would you make to the tax code? And if you had the right and the power to change the Social Security system, what changes would you make? How would you make the system different than it is now? Suppose that you were given these powers and these rights with a condition. And the condition would be that you had to personally witness the impact of your choices on the lives of every man, woman, and child affected by the decisions that you made. Now, while you're thinking about that, let me give you one other thing. Suppose just for one day, 24 hours, you could function in God's position. If for one day you could see what God sees, if for one day you could hear what God hears, if you could see the hearts and the motives of every individual upon the face of this earth, and you saw every expression of evil in people and their lives. Suppose just for one day you saw everything that occurred in the entire world. Suppose worldwide you saw every child who was abused and you saw every child abuser. And you knew what happened within that child and within that person who did the abusing, while they did the things that they did and the words that they used. Suppose for one day, worldwide, you saw every spouse that was abused. And you saw the husband or the wife who was the abuser. And you knew what happened within the heart of that adult that was abused. And you knew exactly why this happened. Suppose you, for one day, worldwide, you saw every person that was raped. And you knew what happened to every life of that person that was affected. And you knew exactly why the rapist committed such an act. Suppose one day you saw every assault, every injustice, every murder, every person in despair and every person in grief. You saw how the life of every victim was affected. And you knew the motives of every person who committed such an evil. Suppose on that day you had God's power. Let me ask you a couple of questions. What would you do? What would you do if you had that power? How would you use your knowledge and your power? Today we look at the current situations given in our nation. You know what's going on. You know the evils that are being carried out day by day. How would you act? While you think upon these things, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 1, first of all. And before the Babylonian Empire captured the nation of Judah and placed them in captivity, the Lord God of heaven gave a special message through his prophet Isaiah. God through Isaiah made it very clear that their evil had reached a level that he could no longer ignore or tolerate or forgive. In verses 4 through 6 of chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, the Bible says they were so evil and rebellious that they were like a person that did not have a well spot on their body, not a single place on his or her body, covered with sores, ugly, bleeding, infected sores. That's what they looked like to God. Their worship had sickened God that he hid his eyes when they sacrificed. He didn't want to see their sacrifices. And he closed his ears when they prayed. Verses 10 through 15 of Isaiah chapter 1. And the city of Jerusalem was like a prostitute who helped murderers and thieves take advantage of widows and orphans. Verses 21 through 23. And God promised that the time of reckoning would come. It's coming soon, he would say through his prophet. And he would punish all of their evil. And as we said in Bible class today, God has made promises, both positive and negative. And God says he cannot lie, he's going to keep every promise. And he promised these people, I'm going to bring you down, I'm going to bring you to your knees. And we who study the Bible and look at the history of the Old Testament, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he'll do it every time. You can rest assured of that. And as God continued to speak to Judah through Isaiah, basically Isaiah declared two things. He said, first of all, God had documented their evil and they proved they were a wicked people. And then Isaiah said, God has promised that vengeance and devastation will consume Jerusalem and all the people of Judah. And I believe that we can make application to our country. That every evil thing that is said and every evil thing that is done, every evil act, God has recorded and he knows about it. And he has promised through the New Testament that he will bring us down to our knees. He will take care of the matter because God cannot lie. But you say, we are a Christian nation. God will not tolerate, will not let us fall. Read the history of the Jewish people who was God's chosen people. Read the history and dwell on it. And think about the situation that we find ourselves in. Homosexuality, mixed marriages, and things of this nature that is against biblical teaching. You don't think God does not take notice of that? He does. He does. And he has warned us that he will bring us down. There's one thing in the book of Habakkuk that is brought out is that God told these people, his people here, I'm going to bring you down and I'm going to use a godless nation to do so. The Chaldeans, the horses were strong and they had no regard for life other than their own. And God did exactly what he promised to do. And in this case from Isaiah chapter 1, it happened just as God had said it would happen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, starved Jerusalem into submission. The Israelites were taken as captives to Babylon, and there they lost the good life, and they became slaves. This is about 722 before Christ. The temple of Jerusalem and the city of Jerusalem and the temple were completely destroyed. The city and its walls were reduced to rubble, and the rubble served as home for wild animals. Much like the old Western movies, every now and then they showed a ghost town. And evidently, that's what Jerusalem was. And God said, that's going to happen. And it did. And after Judah was taken into captivity, God, through Isaiah, invited Judah to come home to Jerusalem. Turn to chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah, if you have your Bibles. Here God says through the prophet, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Who do you spend your money? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which is does not satisfy?" He said, "Listen carefully to me and eat of what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I've given him as a witness to the people, and a leader and a commander of the people. Surely you shall call a nation that you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord," he says, "while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens and the earth, as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For even as the rain comes down on the from the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in this thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out of the out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into everlasting singing, or singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Indeed, of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that ye shall not be cut off. Thus saith the Lord." These words were given to these people who were suffering, who were in bondage. And if you'll notice in chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah, it's very interesting of the structure of that particular chapter, just 13 verses. But you read in verses 1 through 5 that God speaks. And God says, in essence, in these five verses, "All you exiles who realize how much you need me, come to me, come to the waters. You know you need me." And those of us who are in this room today know that we need him. And his arms are wide open, saying, "Come to me. Come unto me. I will give you that which you need. There will not be any want in my kingdom if you just trust me and do my will and follow after me." He says, "You don't need money. I will bless you. And it's going to be me. It's not going to be you. I'm going to bless you. And I will be as dependable and merciful to you as I was to David." When they mention David, I'm sure all of those people realized who David was and what he meant to the people. And the Lord is saying, "I'm gonna bless you as I blessed him. As I led him, I will lead you. If you trust me and you trust me as David did, you will be a witness to the world to show what I can do." He says, "Come to me. You don't need money. All you need is a willingness to come." And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is this morning. You don't need money. All you need is a willingness to come and lay down at His cross, as it were. Repent of your sins. Confess your faults. Confess Jesus Christ. Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Arise to walk in a newness of life. Being added to the kingdom of God as God adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. This is what God is speaking to these people who were in bondage. Come. And the next few verses, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah speaks. First God speaks, then Isaiah speaks. Isaiah said to the people, look, people, God is calling you. God is calling you. It is as Robert would stand up before us and who would be lost and undone. Robert would say, come to God. God is calling you. This is what Isaiah is doing to these people who were lost in bondage, who were suffering. Suffer no more, he would say. God is calling you. Come to God. Come to God. Turn to Him, he's saying, and God will have compassion on you and He will pardon you. And then you look at verses 8 through 11, God speaks again. And God says, don't try to figure me out. You can't figure me out. He's saying my ways and my thoughts are so much higher than your ways and thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. You can't figure God out. Quit trying to figure Him out. You can't. You cannot figure God out. You may say, well, how can God save me, a wicked and vile sinner? He can save you. He will save you. He saved those people. And Isaiah said, come on, don't try to figure Him out. Just do what He says. That's the cry of every child of God today to a lost and dying world. Just do what He says. That's all you have to do. God speaking, He said to them in verses 8 through 11, my purposes will be accomplished. What I say will happen. Depend on it. God cannot lie. And then this chapter closed as Isaiah speaks again, and he says, go with joy. Why God calls you and find peace. He says if you will just trust God and return to Him, the whole creation will applaud you. Everything that opposed your return will now help you. And my friend, that's the way it is for a lost and erring child of God today. When He returns, come back with joy and you will find peace. If you will just trust God and return to Him, the whole creation, that is the whole church, will applaud you. And everything that opposed your return will be taken care of. For now, you will have help with those things. But as I continue to read this account, Judah could not understand God's compassion. They could not understand the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. They were saying simply, you mean the God who destroyed us because we were wicked now wants us to come back to Him? You mean the God who knew how murderous and arrogant and idolatrous and materialistic and evil we were would just take us back? You mean that the God of heaven that was so sick of our worship, who refused to look at our sacrifices, who would close His ears to our prayers, would take us back? And God says, oh yes. If you repent and trust me, I will take you back. And then he adds to it, he said, not only will I take you back, but I will bless you. I will not only take you back, but I will make you my people. I will not only take you back, but I will make an eternal agreement with you. And Judah said to God, now, God, that's not how we do it. Destroy us. Make us slaves. And then restore us. That's how we would do it. God says, of course you wouldn't do it as I would do it. Of course you wouldn't. Because, as Cole read a few minutes ago, I don't reason like you reason. No, I don't reason like that. I don't react like you react, he says to me and to you. I do not think like you think. I don't think the things that you think. I'm much higher than that. I think and act in ways that you would never act and think. My ways and your ways are different. My thoughts and your thoughts are different. But he says, trust me. Repent and come. That's what he says. Our prayer should be, God, help us to stop trying to figure you out. Just instead follow you because we trust you and we love you. We go back to the original thoughts at the beginning of our lesson. Can you forgive, accept, and restore a loving relationship? Maybe with a parent who abused you, and or a spouse who rejected you and left you penniless, homeless. Maybe a boss who exploited you. A person who caused you enormous pain. Could you forgive? Probably not. Because we as humans don't do things like that. But God can. And God does. He can and does because he's filled with compassion and mercy and grace. And that's why. I'm glad that none of us are God for a day. Jesus says to us today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door and I'll come in. You don't need money. You just need a heart that is touched by the gospel. That loves God to the extent that you would do his will. That you would arise and come to him. Jesus would say to me and to you, my blood is much stronger than your sin. It will blot it out. As you ponder the things that I had to say today. If you find yourself as Israel of Judah of old in bondage to sin, just remember God wants you. He'll take you, as the song says, just as I am, without one plea. If you're subject to the invitation of our Lord, would you come as we stand and sing?